chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Beloved.
Thank you, Brother David, for reading the word of God. What a privilege and joy it is to stand before you this morning and share the word of God. Let's ask for God's help even now. Let's bow our heads. Let's go to him. We need his help as we look at his word. Only by the Spirit can we understand it. Let's ask for that this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the great privilege of worship. Thank you, dear God, that truths that we've heard this morning just fill our hearts with joy in you. And we are glad, and we thank you, Father, for our Savior, Jesus Christ. May we continue to focus on him as we look at your word this morning. Help us as we do that. Protect us, Father, from thoughts that would wander. Protect us, dear God, from things that might hinder us in our lives right now. And yet, God, we submit all those things to you. You've brought us here this morning. You've brought us for the great privilege of worship. May it continue now for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 is one of the most important and definitive paragraphs on the person of Jesus Christ that we find in the Word of God. This passage in its scriptural setting and context provides you and me the perfect pattern of humility. And it's a humility that is absolutely necessary for life in a local church, and also absolutely necessary in the lives of believers in people relationships. What is humility? From Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we understand it to be a lowliness of mind. It's putting others first. It's looking out for the interest of others. It's placing ourselves under God and under other people. And brothers and sisters, the supreme perfect pattern of humility is given to us by our Savior, Jesus Christ. And there is no better time to consider the humility of Jesus than this time of year that we celebrate his birth. I would remind you this morning that our sermon series now for several weeks is entitled, They Trusted God. And the proposition in that sermon series is this, that God is always working to move his people to trust him. Jesus trusted God. And it's from Jesus that we learn to trust God in humility. So what does this humility look like in the life of Jesus? And what does humility look like in our lives? Let's look this morning at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. First of all, I want you to see that Jesus gave up his rights. Look at verses 6 and 7. Jesus gave up his rights. Paul says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Folks, look closely at these verses because Paul declares clearly and simply the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. Notice how Paul says it in this passage. He says in verse 6, who being in the form of God. This word form, some translations use the word nature. Form or nature points to the inner essence or the reality of something. And so what Paul is saying here is that Jesus Christ has the essence, the nature, and the character of God. In other words, He is completely and absolutely God. And all of the characteristics and attributes and majesty of God is His. Why? Because He is God. This is His person. This is His position. He is fully and completely and rightfully God. And then notice what Paul says. He continues in this description. Verse 6, He, this is Jesus, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Another translation says, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Think about that just for a moment this morning. Though He possessed full deity and all its corresponding attributes, things like holiness and righteousness and grace, He's all powerful. He's everywhere present. He's all-knowing and many, many more attributes. Christ did not consider His equality with God something to grab or something to hold to or something that would not slip from His grasp. This word robbery that we see in this translation is fitting because a robber takes or grabs that which does not belong to him, but deity belonged to Jesus because He was truly God. And therefore He did not have to grab it. He did not have to hold on to it because it was His. And then notice that Paul says, verse 7, but made Himself of no reputation. Another translation says He emptied Himself of His privileges. Think about this just for a moment. Though He was God, fully and completely God, He laid aside temporarily the full exercise and rights of His deity. He did not lay aside His deity when He became a man. This could never be. But He laid aside or He emptied Himself of any kind and all self-interest involving His deity. In other words, He surrendered His right to manifest Himself visibly as the Son of God in power and glory. And when He did manifest His majesty and power when He was on this earth, it was through His submission to His Father and to the Holy Spirit. Now, theologians call this the kenosis, or the self-emptying of Christ. And it simply means He gave up His rights. I want you to consider this and think about this just for a moment, because we live in a society and a culture that prides itself on rights and the protection of rights. I mean, folks, we believe in the Bill of Rights. We believe in civil rights. We believe in individual rights. But the great danger is that our rights can become self-serving and self-centered. And when we think about that this morning, much of the division and disunity and personal conflicts and anger and bitterness in families and churches and the workplace and government comes because people believe that their rights have been violated. And people strive, oh how people strive to protect their rights. And they may not use these exact words, but I've heard people defend their rights. For example, I've heard husbands say, it is my right to be in control and to lead and to get my own way. And if I don't, I'll get angry. And I've heard wives say, it's my right to be loved and cared for and protected and to seek fulfillment and to get my own way. And if I don't, I'll leave and find another husband. I've heard church members say, it's my right to speak and to be heard and to disagree and to be disagreeable and to get my way. And if I don't, I'll go to another church. You see, brothers and sisters, we fight for our rights and we take drastic action against other people to protect our rights. But here in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, we read that Jesus gave up His rights. That Jesus laid aside His rights. And Jesus did not consider them something that needed to be held on to or grasped or held tightly. Jesus emptied Himself. How could He do this? Hold your place in Philippians chapter 2 and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. In the context here of believers who were suffering for doing right, Peter now speaks about Jesus. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21. Peter says to these believers, he says to us, "For to this you were called." In other words, you were called to suffer for doing what's right. "For this you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously." Brothers and sisters, look at that last phrase. Do you see it? What was Jesus' response to all those who came against Him? Peter says, "But committed Himself to Him who judges righteously." In other words, Jesus trusted God. Jesus placed His life in God's hands. Jesus committed Himself to God who judges righteously. And brothers and sisters, Jesus is our example. We must follow in His steps. And so Jesus shows us that trusting God in humility that gives up our rights and gives ourselves to God is following Him, is obeying Him. Go back to Philippians chapter 2. Let's continue because there's a second way that Jesus trusted God in humility. Look at verse 7, Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Jesus became a servant. Paul says, "But made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." And so Paul says here that Jesus took the form of a bondservant or a servant and came in the likeness of men. Think about this. He was fully God. He never ceased to be God, but yet He became the lowest of men. He became a servant. He became a slave. Look at Paul's statement. He says, taking the form of a bondservant. The word form that he uses there is the same word that he used in verse 6. And it simply means that Christ possessed all the essence and all the character of a servant or a slave. He was truly and completely a servant. Everyone was over Him. He was under everyone. And He demonstrated His servitude and slavery throughout His life. Folks, the life of Jesus was characterized by His service to others. Think about it. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He comforted the lonely. He came alongside the sorrowful. He fed the hungry. He gave water to the thirsty. He washed the feet of His disciples. He submitted to His accusers. His whole life was a life of service. Just as surely as he was fully God, he was fully man, and he was fully a servant. Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 20 verse 28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was truly and fully a servant. And then notice that Paul says, coming in the likeness of men. Coming in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ, God, became a real human being. See, if you say to yourselves, where's the Christmas message in this passage? Well, it's throughout this passage, but here it is. He came. He became a man, a real human being. Notice that Paul says, coming in the likeness of men. Likeness means similar, but different. So how was he different? Well, think about how he was like us. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was weary. He suffered pain. He experienced sorrow just like us. His humanity was real. It was genuine. He was fully and completely man, but he was different than other men because he was sinless. He had no sin. Fully God, fully man, and he was the lowest of men. A servant who put others first and who served them. And brothers and sisters, this is humility. It's serving others. It's putting the needs of others first. It's being a servant to all. It's being a slave to all. You know, in our day and time, that could sound repulsive. That could sound humiliating. Step back just for a moment. Does that mean then that husbands are to serve their wives? Yes. Does that mean that wives are to serve their husbands? Yes. Does that mean that we're to serve one another? Yes. If God could be a servant, can't we? Think about it. Jesus Christ, Almighty God, became a man, a servant for you and for me. This, brothers and sisters, is lowliness of mind. This is humility. And instead of thinking about what people can do for you, then let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How can I serve my wife? And how can I serve my husband? How can I serve my children or my parents or my employer? How can I serve other believers in a local church? Jesus served. Jesus became a servant. And Jesus shows us that trusting God is a humility that puts others first. There's a third way. Look at our passage. A third way that Jesus trusted God in humility. Verse 8, Jesus submitted to death. Paul says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so this humility of Jesus Christ not only included him giving up his rights as God and becoming a man and a servant man, but on top of all that, he submitted to death. In verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, being found in appearance as a man, so outwardly he appeared to be no different. This in itself is humility because the God of the universe was believed to be a man. And the truth is, he was a man, fully man, but also fully God. But more than that, there was a reason that he became a man. He humbled himself, and Paul says, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And brothers and sisters, I don't think that our thoughts or our words can imagine the humility or the humiliation of what Jesus Christ went through. His humility, His servanthood, His obedience to the Father took Him to the cross where He died for you and He died for me. And get this now, He chose the lowest, most shameful, most painful, most degrading form of death in the ancient world, crucifixion, and He did it for my sin and your sin. He did it for me, and He did it for you. Can you see why our selfishness and self-exaltation is so petty and shameful? The God-man, Jesus Christ, submitted to the lowest, most shameful death, and He did it for others. Now, of course, the lesson is very clear for us. Jesus considered others better than Himself, higher than Himself. Jesus looked on the things of others. Jesus, in humility, died on the cross. And you know what that means in our lives today, folks? It means a lot of things. But when we think about how we are to have this mind of Christ, it means that we too must die. We must die to self. We must die to the world. We must die to our own self-interest and self-way. In the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 14, verse 27, He says, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." You see, the cross was the ultimate symbol of submission and death. And folks, there must be a death. Our death. If we are to follow Jesus Christ, we must put to death our self-interest, our selfishness, our desires, our wills, and put Christ and others first. You see, trusting God is a humility that submits to death. Jesus did it. We must do it. And finally, the Apostle Paul shows us the result of this humility. Look at verses 9 through 11. Jesus was exalted by God. Paul says, therefore, in other words, based on all that he just said about Jesus and His humility, he says, therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now think about it. If we stopped here in this passage in verse 8, Philippians 2:8, we would not have the full picture of Christ and humility. Because it doesn't end with death and shame and humility. That's only part of the record. That's only part of His story. But for those who are willing to go down in humility, they will be lifted up in exaltation. Notice that Paul says, therefore God has highly exalted Him. God has given Jesus Christ a name above every name. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. And God has lifted Him up from the lowliness and the shame and exalted Him above all others. What that means, brothers and sisters, is this, that the road to exaltation is humility. The way up is down. The path to highness is lowness. And God brings us down to lift us up. And just like Jesus Christ, the humility of this life is temporary, because we will be exalted with Jesus Christ. And right now, In humility, we must live like Him. We must give up our rights. We must become a servant. We must submit to death. And in the future, we will be glorified with Him. There is a principle, this principle that runs throughout Scripture. The Apostle James says it so clearly in James chapter 4, verse 10. He says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." And folks, if we demand our rights now, if we demand that others serve us now, if we demand to have our own way now, if we demand to have first place now, we may get it, but in the future there will be no honor and glory and reward and exaltation. But if we humble ourselves now and submit ourselves now and have the lowliness of mind that Christ has now, He had when He lived upon this earth, then God in the future will lift us up and exalt us and glorify us with His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, folks, Jesus shows us that trusting in God in humility will lead to exaltation. That's God's way. That's what God shows us through Jesus. I look at this passage and I consider it one of the most important passages in the New Testament. This is Christ. This is Christianity. And if we're to have the mind of Christ, if we're to follow Christ, if we are to truly be Christ's disciples, then this humility and lowliness must also be us. And this Faith Baptist Church is the message of Christmas. And you can look at this passage and you can see Christmas all through this passage. God became a man. The Son of God took to Himself full humanity, a lowly man, a servant man, a suffering and crucified man for us, for me and for you. And this is humility. And there is no greater proof of trusting God in His life and in our lives than living in humility. Paul says in verse 5, we'll end with this statement. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We trust God when we live in humility. Let's bow our heads. Father, please help us right now. I pray that the Holy Spirit will just keep these words, the words of this passage before us, keep these words in our thoughts. Keep this example of Jesus before our thinking today and days to come. God, may this be the description and the direction of our lives. Father, I acknowledge to you, it's a fight. Because, Father, you know and we know that there is a part of us that resists this and rebels against this and goes our own way. But, oh God, help us. By the Spirit who dwells within us, help us to see Jesus, to look to Jesus, and to be like Jesus. We ask you, Father, for help. And God, I know that even today, perhaps even before we leave this building, you will give us opportunities to trust you in humility. May we see it as from your hand. May we respond to this work of grace with faith. May we trust you. Father, I pray this morning if there's anyone here today who's never placed their faith in Jesus Christ, oh God, help them. Help them to see Jesus. My earnest prayer is that they look to Jesus, that they see Him, And God, we know that when people actually begin to see Jesus, that this is your work in their lives, and you will change them. You will save them, and you will sanctify them. We praise you for your work for us through our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in his name we pray this morning. Amen. Amen. Amen.